So hear the word of the Lord from John 14. Jesus says these: "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Let's pray together. Gracious God, open our hearts and our minds to your word. Make us obedient to you as we reach out in love to you. In your name I pray. Amen. I want to start by talking about some family resemblances. I have a picture here of my dad and my brothers. It was taken a few years ago. You can see I'm a little grayer than I was at that point. And one of the things that struck me when I first saw this picture was the family resemblance. There are so many things that we can see as siblings and as with my dad that, you know, I never thought that I looked a whole lot like one of my brothers, and he and I are the ones that kind of share the most resemblance now, and because I always thought he was kind of goofy looking. So, but I found out that those dominant genes actually are found in all the men of our family. We got the next picture here, right? Yeah, next picture. Yeah, see, some of those dominant genes that are found in me are found in all the men in our family. Sarah appreciates that I did not do that to her. I want to start off by talking about how we as Christians, as believers, as followers of Jesus, should reflect the image of Jesus, right? So let's take a look at this next part here. We are called Christians. And the name was given to kind of mean, to kind of infer, little Christs, okay? That's where the name Christian came from. We are to be ambassadors for Christ in this world. We are to be representatives of Jesus to the world. We are, as Jesus often referred to us and as Paul does too, we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Now I want you to think about that, because as we just shared in the in communion, in this blessed time of remembering Christ's sacrifice, we remembered his body that was broken for us. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" We participate in the body of Christ. Actually, we are the body of Christ. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:27. We are the body of Christ. And each part of that, or each person, has a part of the body. And then it goes on to talk about all the differences and variations that we have, and we've mentioned that already this morning. Our lives are to show the world Christ. That's what being the body of Christ is. That we should be demonstrating and reflecting Jesus in all we say and all we do, right? And so reflecting Jesus means that we will share Jesus' characteristics, things like his compassion, his gentleness, his holiness, his righteousness, his forgiveness, his faith, his love, his dependence upon the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but the idea of living life like this sounds hard, sounds impossible, right? And unfortunately, as little Christs, as ambassadors, as Christians, we often tend to reflect something other than Christ in our words, in our deeds, and sometimes in our attitudes too. So what do we do? Should we just try harder? Maybe that's what we need to do. We just need to be more diligent in being the examples of Christ? Do we need to flog ourselves or deprive ourselves in order to remember to do the right things and live the right way? Our text today gives us an answer that I hope will be a relief to you. Our text tells us that obedience comes from loving Jesus. Obedience flows from our loving Jesus. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. You see? If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. It says in verse 24, for those who don't love me, they will not obey my teachings. You see, our response, our living the right way, comes not from our being more and more diligent or trying harder. It comes out of loving Jesus. And I want to talk a little bit more about that. John 14:15 also says this, just a few verses before our text. It says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. I want to bring this to a sort of a human level of understanding, because sometimes this just seems just sort of out there somewhere. But think about somebody that you love with all of your heart. Okay, when we love someone, what is it that we try to do? We try to do things that will please them, right? That's what we should be doing. If I say I love you, but I don't want to do anything that makes you feel good or please you in any way, well, then my love for you is going to be questioned, right? And so, when we love someone, we will desire to do things that are pleasing to them. I've shared just a personal illustration. You may have heard this before. When I had first met Patty, she was a couple of years older than me. I'll say considerably older than me, okay? Because she's not here to defend herself. When I first had met her, I was somewhat in awe of her. She's beautiful. I'm not going to say was. She's beautiful, smart, intelligent, witty. And so when I first met her, I wanted to impress her. And I didn't think she noticed me because I was an underclassman. She was actually a senior in college. I was a simple sophomore. So one of the things I had noticed about her, we didn't eat our meals together. We ate in the same cafeteria. But I had observed that she, every day after she got some, ate her dinner, that she would get a cup of tea. You may think that that may sound like I was no, I was not stalking her, okay? I just couldn't help but watch, right? So here she is. I saw that, Joe. So I started getting two cups of tea and bringing them to the table and sitting myself down with her and saying, here's some tea. Would you like some? And sitting there at the table with all these upperclassmen who were just kind of thinking, who's this little kid coming, right, and bothering us? But that really prompted our relationship to grow. And the fact of the matter is, I hate tea. But I was going to drink it and I was going to enjoy it. Why? Because I loved her. And so I wanted to do things that were pleasing to her. And this is the way it is with our relationship with Christ. When we love Jesus, we're going to do things that are pleasing to Jesus. We're going to want to do things that are pleasing to Jesus. So loving Jesus is what prompts us to do the right things. So how do we grow in love with Jesus? Well, it comes from knowing him personally. It comes from a relationship with Jesus. It doesn't come just about knowledge about Jesus, but it comes as we enter into a relationship with Jesus. Then, our love for him grows. You see, the Christian faith is not about rules and practices and worship styles and denominations and rituals. That's not what our faith is all about. Our faith is about a relationship. It is a relationship with God. From the very beginning of time, this is what God desired from us, to have a relationship with us. In Genesis, we have the story of Adam and Eve. and how God would walk with him and just be with him. And that was the way it was intended to be. This close relationship with God as human beings. And then sin enters the world. And what happens first? People start hiding from God. Our relationship with God is broken because of that sin. And so we start hiding from God and pulling away from God. And through history, God continues to try to draw us back into that relationship. There's a story some of you may know about when Moses had led the people out of Egypt, and they were standing at the foot of Mount Sinai. And Moses, you know, it was before Moses got the Ten Commandments and all of that. And so they're standing at the foot of Mount Sinai, and God says, I want to talk to the people, so gather them around. So God begins to speak to the people, and the people's response is, tell God to stop. We don't want this. This is too scary for us. And they're trying to hide from God. They say, Moses, you go talk to God, and then you tell us what God said. God desired to be close to his people, to be in relationship with his people. But because of sin, our people have always tried to hide from God. So God did one more thing. Finally, he became one of us. He took on human flesh. He lived with us. He breathed our air. He experienced our pain. He celebrated our joys and sorrows. He grew in relationship with those around him. He showed us then also how we could live in this relationship with God once again. Jesus demonstrated that to us. And then, as we have celebrated in our communion service, he took our sins upon himself and died as the final sacrifice, all so that the barriers of sin could be removed, so we have nothing left to hide behind, and we can experience and enjoy life with God without the barriers. This is what God has done, to draw us back into relationship with him. But with any loving relationship, he never forces anyone into that relationship. It's always an invitation. So now, as we live in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our love for God compels us then to do what we should do, to live as we should live, to serve as we should serve. Our love for God compels us to live in obedience to Jesus' teachings. So, if you're having difficulty living in obedience to Christ's words, stop beating yourself up about it and stop trying so hard. And instead, start living in relationship with Christ. And grow that love relationship there, because then your heart can be changed and you will want to live as God intended you to live. Talk to him in prayer. Listen to him in God's words. Turn your eyes to him, look him in the face, and love him for who he is, because Jesus is our God. Right? So, finally, as we love Christ, what happens is our eyes are opened. As we live in this close relationship with Jesus, our eyes become opened, and we begin to experience the love of God in a new and vibrant way. Right? Our text today says, if we love Jesus, that God will love us. Now that sounds kind of confusing. Sounds like we have to love Jesus first, and then God will love us back. But that's not what the text means, all right? In the original language, it's pointing out to the fact that you love Jesus and God loves you, all right? So it doesn't mean that God's love begins when we first start to love Jesus. Look through Scripture. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still far from God, Jesus died for us. While we were still against God and even hating God, still then, Jesus died for us. That's how much God loved us. That's how he demonstrated his love for us. God loved the world so much that he sent his Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You see, God took the initiative first. And so our response then is to love him back. And our text says is that we experience the love of God in a new way when we love Jesus. What happens? It's kind of like Technicolor. Did you ever watch the Wizard of Oz? In the beginnings, in black and white, and then when Dorothy enters in the land of Oz, all of a sudden the screen kind of opens and there's all this color, right? It's Technicolor. If you haven't seen that, you need to watch that. There's this whole transformation. All of a sudden, she's seeing things in Technicolor. And that was when kind of Technicolor was created for movies, too. It was pretty amazing, all right? And so when we come to love Jesus, what happens is we begin to experience God's love in a new, vibrant, Technicolor type of way. We begin to understand what is the fullness of God's love, the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of God's love. We begin to understand that and experience that personally when we enter into that relationship with his Son Jesus. So as we love Christ, our eyes are open to the love of God. And then also as we love Christ, we begin to understand Jesus' words in a whole new way. Because honestly, love is the key to understanding what Jesus said. It truly is. When we hear Jesus' words through the law, what we hear are more commandments that are virtually impossible to obey. Honestly. This is why some have taken the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew 5 through 7, and they've said, well, that's not for today. That's what heaven is going to be like. That's why some people take some of Jesus' teachings about how we should live and say, well, that's the way it's going to be after sin is gone. That's not what Jesus said, though. It does seem impossible. And if we're trying to live Jesus' teachings according to the law of his teachings, you're going to fail. Because through the lens of the Old Covenant and through the lens of the law, it cannot be done. It cannot. But when we look at Jesus' teachings through the lens of love and loving him, we're able to understand and make sense of what he says. And we come to realize that this kind of life truly is possible to live. That kingdom life. This life as God intended it to be. This life with God, in relationship with God, is really what it's all about. And as we seek to live our lives in the love of God, and with the love of God, and with our eyes on Jesus, all of it begins to make sense, and things begin to fall into place. And our hearts are changed so that we want to do what Jesus teaches us. But it can only be lived as we love God with all of our heart, mind, and strength. And as Jesus said, and our neighbor as ourselves. Right? So apart from love, Jesus' words seem not only impossible, but often they're incomprehensible. They simply don't make sense in our world. We try to understand, but we can't, unless we hear them through love. So, as we love Jesus in this way, all of a sudden, our eyes are opened, and we can understand and experience the love of God as it was intended. And we can see that Jesus, our love for Jesus, is the way to God and the truth of God. And that we can even then know the life that God has intended for us all along. Let's pray. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. We want to see you. We want to understand you. We want to know you. We want to follow you. We want to serve you. We want to obey you. Your love for us, your desire to be in relationship with us, compels us to love you in return. And so may our love for you fill our hearts and minds, guiding us. May our love for you direct our paths. May our love for you lead us into holiness and obedience. May our love for you take us to the hungry and the needy and the destitute. May our love for you reshape our attitudes about others. May our love for you teach us what is right and lead us to not only understand but follow your teachings. And may our love for you inspire others to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Amen. Amen.